It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
This hour is brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. Remember, we close out the week on the road at Treasure Island with Football Friday and then a Saturday show. Griffins, Golden Circle, Gridiron Gurus are in place for Throw the Flag. It's 9-11 each Saturday morning. It is a college football preview show, live score updates, NFL look ahead, and it all goes down on Saturdays. A special Saturday show each week inside Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. And they do have the breakfast rocking and rolling. You get the breakfast sandwich, the chicken chilaquiles, the breakfast meat lovers quesadilla, 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings at Treasure Island. And you come out and watch the show. We've got prizes, again, 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings. And listen here on ESPN Las Vegas to Throw the Flag.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four, number four.
So you can feel kind of tumult after the first week with the Dolphins. They look like hell, 33-8. Mike McDaniel just kind of looks weaker and weaker. Tyreek Hill is speaking out against the effort, which I don't have a big problem with. I think it's the stuff when he's insubordination's kind of strong, but being divisive and hurting the cause for Mike McDaniel, that's not really helping anyone. And then there's stuff like this. This is my worry with Tyreek Hill, and I don't understand why the Dolphins are still in the Tyreek Hill business. He, after getting in trouble for like holding his baby out over a balcony at a high-rise condominium, things quieted down a little bit over the summer. Move him. He's an aging old guy with 53 kids by 48 women. It's like, I think, of 10 kids by 5 women. Well, he just got divorced, and now his wife, in court filings, is alleging that he committed domestic violence in their relationship.
I'm so done with this guy. I mean, you know, for a while, it's kind of like, all right, maybe this, maybe that. There's so much smoke with Tyreek Hill at this point. It's like, is it even worth having him around?
Maybe he didn't do it.
It's possible.
His agent says this is a big shakedown. Well, she already got the divorce settlement. I don't know if you saw the divorce settlement, but she got $20,000 to $50,000 a month, $500,000 one-time payment, $457,000 to pay for legal fees, $100,000 to get a new car. She gets the use of the marital home. She also gets the use of a $5.5 million condo. And my favorite part about that is he's got to pay for the internet. So whatever the best internet is, I'm getting.
Yeah, of course.
I am sticking at the Tyreek Hill.
2 gig a second.
I want the best internet
Fios
we can get.
Yeah.
Now, this is a very serious allegation.
It is.
And it's absolutely a distraction. And the problem with Tyreek Hill is he's been involved in cases like this. His entry to the NFL was scarred by the fact that he did knock someone around in college. There's there's all the managing his kids.
The arm
and the baby
breaking,
mamas,
and then, maybe, you know, allegedly.
Yeah, and did we get a clear picture on that? I guess.
But again,
with this woman now she's claiming, hey, the divorce is done, but he was also knocking me around. It's like, Tyreek, when does it stop?
You know what? If you say something, Steve, and it gets misconstrued, and you're like, no, I didn't mean that, I'd be like, okay, you probably didn't. If Mel Gibson said something and it got misconstrued, I'd be like, he's probably being anti-Semitic or something bad. You know, like, you only get a benefit of the doubt like the first 37 times you do something. And yeah. I feel like at this point with Tyreek Hill, man, I would, like you said, I would have cut my losses with him a long time ago.
Number three.
Okay, another example of, I have no tolerance for this anymore.
Yeah.
Fans who reach on the field and touch athletes. I don't think banning them from the game or from future games, banning them from future games, is doing anything. And we saw a kid at the Bills-Ravens game reaching over the wall in the first row and essentially pushing the helmet of Lamar Jackson. He stops and gets two arms on him and throws him back.
Yeah.
And anyone out there is like, hey, you know, that's not right. Yeah, it's not right by the fan.
Totally agree with you on this. I forget who the first player was. He actually smacked another player in the head first that was walking by that was on the Ravens. Then he not only just hits him, he like grabs Lamar's shoulder pad, pushes it up, smacks him in the head. I mean, it was assault, really. And I didn't realize it was a kid at the time. But when he threw the guy down, I was like, yeah, good. I would have done exactly the same thing.
By kid, I meant he looked like he was 20 years old.
Whatever. Whoever he was, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, I would have done exactly the same thing. I don't even know if I would have been able to control myself as much as Lamar did.
Griffin?
That's assault.
I mean, I would hate to see a guy like Lamar Jackson ever get a suspension from the NFL, ever miss time because of something like this. But that guy deserved to get sucked. Forget pushing. I wouldn't have batted an eye had Lamar balled up his fist and attempted to throw like one of those, you know, 50, 60 yard bombs that he does, but right into the dude's jaw. Like, I'd have no issue with that because stop touching professional athletes. This is not a petting zoo. You are at an NFL game, act appropriately.
By the way, Phillies Karen is getting a load of hell.
Yeah.
Let's dox this guy.
Exactly. If somebody should lose their job, they'd be the assault guy, not the lady who asked for a baseball or whatever. But Steve, I want to get your take on this because remember those guys? I forget now who it was, but there was two guys jumped on the field during a baseball game and started attacking somebody.
White Sox in Kansas City.
Yes. Now, how do you know if it's that or just some guy touching you? You know what I mean? How do you know somebody's not attacking you? They start hitting you and smack. I mean, I don't know. I feel like if it's an assault, sock him in the head, just like Griffin said.
Well, I will say, when you're wearing pads and everything, I know a lot of people will probably stand and be like, oh, they're wearing pads. You feel everything, especially when you get slapped on top of your head. You feel that through the helmet. And in fact, if you're playing a football game and you've already played a few quarters, a few plays, you're going to be a little bit more sensitive about people hitting you in your head while you're playing a violent sport like football.
Yeah. I think it's different, too, though, like patting somebody on the shoulder pads, good job after a touchdown, and smacking a guy across the face. I mean, it was assault. It wasn't like a happy little pat that we're talking about here.
Sorry, I got distracted. I was trying to look up this guy, William League.
Yeah.
Remember, that's a guy who went after Tom Gamboa on the field at a White Sox game. His son was 15. He was 34. I had no idea. I thought he was like 50 years old.
Yeah, I know. He looked like he was 60 in that video.
Yeah, both have faced further legal issues since. I'm trying to find them, but I think I'd read in the past they both had pretty miserable lives, and you know, they acted like scumbags that day, and it turned out they were scumbags.
Sure.
Number two.
I think there are fans who watch Sunday Night Football who's like, this scumbag, Chris Collinsworth. Is it that bad? I do love, though, I know when I hear Collinsworth starting to go off, like waxing poetic about the stars of the NFL, that people are going to flip out.
It's awful. I wouldn't call him a scumbag.
You think he's awful or people?
I think he's awful. But
I like watching him celebrate the greatness of certain players. And I could tell he was going in on Josh Allen so much. I immediately went to the internet. So I'm just like, Collinsworth, Josh Allen. And it just started raining down.
Well, my problem is, like, you can have a second of silence throughout the game, like a 1 second. Like, you don't have to use, you know, like in the FM, they tell you to hit the post. He hits the post on every snap, dude. He's talking until the ball is snapped every single time. I'm like, dude, give us a little bit. That's why I like Tom Brady, because he doesn't talk the entire time, at least. Like, dude, give us a breath.
Now, here we got a guy in Josh Allen. I love Chris Collinsworth. He's a light beam of joy watching these games. He's maybe goes a little bit overboard, but it's just nostalgia. And like, I don't know, maybe it's because I grew up listening to him, watching him on the NFL games, but just the positivity, the energy, like Steve said, like having that kind of, you know, upbeat energy during these broadcasts is great.
I'm going to say this, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
But players can go two different ways. We're going to get to a player and some players. We're going to reference this later on. I think there are a lot of players who are actually anti-player, current-day player. I think they're embarrassing. They're embarrassing themselves, and I don't see where they get off crushing current-day players. Collinsworth is kind of a throwback to Dan Dierdorf, if you remember him, and then even more so John Madden. When John Madden really likes someone, like Brett Favre, and that's why Caliendo did the Brett Favre, the impression of the bit with the Favre. Collinsworth loves the elite players. He celebrates their greatness. At one point, someone tweeted out, quote, I hope everyone is enjoying this as much as I am. That was Collinsworth saying that.
Yeah.
And someone said, nah, bro, we still got our pants on. It was like that fired up. A Ramensaurus Rex said, I think Chris Collinsworth is cheating on Patrick Mahomes with Josh Allen. Has he found a new donut to glaze?
Nice.
The best one was, and I knew it was going to happen. I knew people really listening were going to flip out. James Cook rattles off a 50-yard run on a screenplay. And Collinsworth, without hesitation, is like, this was all Josh Allen. And what he was trying to point out was that he changed the play at the line. He read the defense correctly and set up a beautiful screen pass. But, like, that's not the first thing you say after you've been going on and on and on about Josh Allen when a running back gets 50 yards on a gain. You're like, that was all Josh Allen. Like, wait, it was?
I agree he's very upbeat and he's a nice guy, so that's why I'm not going to call him names, call him a scumbag. I cannot stand it. I have to mute it sometimes, man. It just gets too much. I can't.
Well, do you like him, or do you prefer more of like a Troy Aikman, where Troy Aikman isn't as, you know, bubbly, but he's also, during the broadcast, he's like calling out coaches and he's calling out star players when there's like lapses.
I prefer Aikman, but again, because he doesn't talk the entire broadcast. I mean, dude, it's like, I don't even know how he has an oxygen machine or something in there with him, because the guy just doesn't stop talking.
I think his information, if you really process what he's saying, with the help of the people in the proverbial truck,
sure,
what he sees on the field and with the help of the producers, I think is as good as anyone who does it. Now, I will say this. I think Tony Romo is the best. People have grown to dislike Tony Romo. Others report that folks in TV who, you know, his employers are like, man, he's just not putting the work in. Like, yeah, because early on, he was calling every play,
right,
which I thought was awesome.
It was awesome.
And then his TV bosses are like, oh, too much. You got to appeal more to the, you know, the average fan. So now he grunts and makes noises. And
right.
Like, no.
Circles a guy, like, doesn't say anything.
Have the audience catch up to him.
Yeah.
Don't dumb it down for the audience. I thought it was great. He's like, this is what's going to happen. And then it happened. That's how you learn football.
No, that's good.
Oh, you got to leave some suspense. No, you don't. He sees it all. It's great.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't blame Romo. You know, people dislike him and they're like, oh, he's not saying anything anymore. Because he was told not to. Top story.
Number one.
Okay, more impressions from the first weekend. Quarterbacks are looking and looking for a fresh start, looking to kind of rehab their image. There's a bunch of them, but these three guys. We talked about Fields and Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers, Justin Fields, or Daniel Jones. Who was most impressive?
Danny Dimes all day.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think he was tremendous. I think he's with the right coach in Shane Steichen. I think he has a chance. Okay, I'll say this. Darnold had a big comeback last year with the Vikings. I think Daniel Jones is better than Sam Darnold.
You mean overall as a
yes.
player?
Yes, he's just been with garbage.
I mean,
he got cheated from the beginning of his career going to an organization that has been flailing.
Yeah,
in
I agree.
The Giants.
I think Danny Dimes has wheels too that people don't realize. I mean, that dude's got some. He can run. Like, if he really has to run, mm-hmm. I think he hit like 21 miles per hour on a run against the Eagles once. I was like, are you kidding me? So, I mean, yeah, he's a great skill set for what Steichen likes. And if you go by expectations versus what we got, I think Danny Dimes is a clear winner on that.
Right. You won't bet me Raiders over 7.5. How about Raiders Colts head to head wins? Who wins more games?
See, the Colts are in a crap division, though. It's tough.
You're processing too much. I need knee-jerk reactions. You send stuff over for the rundown. I'm going to get them.
I'd rather.
And then when I push you on it, you're like, you're acting like your dad, like you're smart.
Yeah, I'd rather go 8 wins Raiders than I would them and the Colts, because okay. I don't know what the Colts are going
to
do.
Worst. Good, Griffin.
I'm sorry. I just have to say, I think you guys are buttering up a Week 1 win against the Dolphins a little too much.
Hey, did not he scored on every single play. That hasn't happened ever, I don't think, ever.
That's great.
That play, I mean, series.
That's great. If it was against a team like the Vikings with a great defense, then I'd say, yeah, Danny Dimes is my winner. I'm picking Aaron Rodgers. I mean, or actually not Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, Justin Fields. Justin Fields getting it done with his legs, getting it done passing it as well. They didn't win, but Justin Fields looks the most improved out of all these guys.
He's good, just no Danny Dimes.
15 seconds. Worst quarterback performance of Week 1. Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, or Tua?
It's got to be Tua, dude. I mean,
was
that was
so
just awful. Yeah.
It was so bad.
I thought he was concussed before the game.
And yet the Seahawks paid a lot of money for Sam Darnold for that. A lot of money.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, time to go behind the counter with Ray Cleaver from William Hill. Ray, I'm sure you enjoyed the weekend of football, considering your rooting allegiance. How did William Hill, how the sportsbooks do on Monday Night Football?
Well, Monday Night Football was real good, but on Sunday, we did the best we could to help the Las Vegas economy.
How did that happen? How did that happen?
All favorites, and people love them money line parlays. I'll tell you, the people who lay numbers anymore, nobody lays a favorite anymore. They just play money line. So when the favorites go the way they went, in wonderful fashion for the books, it was there's plenty of money to go around for the public. I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, good news is it's week one, and all those winners are going to bet even more with much more zeal moving forward. So you guys have a shot. I think you're going to survive. College, I've gotten mixed results from different bookmakers. We had big games with Okie State and Oregon, Michigan, Oklahoma, Mississippi State, Arizona State, Illinois, Duke. How'd you guys make out on the college front?
Well, Okie State and Oregon, I think there was about two people in the entire universe that bet Oklahoma State.
And, 69-3.
Yeah, yikes. And Lanning was putting a hurting on Gundy. And I'll tell you, Gundy is the last guy who should complain about the money. When Boone Pickens was alive, Oklahoma State had all the money they wanted.
Yep.
They had the best facilities. They had best everything, and everything was good there. Then when Boone Pickens passed away, Oklahoma State went the other direction, and now he's complaining that other people have money. I think he needs to he's going to be gone at the end of the year. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, you get money by winning, and I'm guessing the spigot, even with Pickens passed away, they just turned it off. It's like, bro, we're not giving you money if you don't win. I heard I forget who it was, one of the guys, a pretty decent level national person on college football. I thought it was an overreaction, talking about the Big 12 being top-heavy this year because teams at the bottom right now, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Baylor, K-State, might be bad. I still think the Big 12 is going to be very competitive. Now, Okie State might stink, and West Virginia might have a tough time without their starting running back, but I still think it's balanced.
See, I think that's about the only two teams. I think Kansas State is still going to be a threat to beat some top-level teams. They've gotten off to a bad start. Baylor, you cannot ignore. I mean, Baylor has the same odds to win the league as Iowa State, who's 3-0. So, I mean, the Big 12, and how do you discount Arizona State, Utah, Texas Tech? I mean, Utah is everybody's darling right now. I swear people are betting Utah like they think they already finished the league. And so, I mean, the Big 12 is anybody's guess, including mine. I have no clue who's going to win that league.
Ray Cleaver on the line from William Hill Sportsbook. I had a question this week coming up for college football. Some of these games, one of them that stood out to me was Wisconsin versus Alabama. Kind of weird seeing Bama being this big of a dog against Wisconsin, though.
Well, being that I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, I got a lot of history with this game. But the one thing I will say is I don't know if Wisconsin can cover 21.5 or not, but I will tell you this. The first 1-10 wins. In other words, the under has got to be the play.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's defense is exceptional. It really is. And Alabama's defense is always above par. So I don't know, 21.5. I see this game being like 27-10. So if you want to lay 21.5 in a defensive battle, you got more courage than I do.
Clemson on the road, 3.5 against G-Tech. What are you seeing?
Lines come down too far. I think this is the time to bet Clemson. I really do. I think that Georgia Tech is going to be up for the game. It'll be a tough start, but Dabo will have the guys up and ready. I think it was a wake-up call last week against Troy, and I think they'll be ready to play. I'd lay the number.
A great one in the SEC early in the season. Tennessee brings in Georgia. Georgia is laying 3.5.
Well, I did say somebody say that Tennessee was that dog with fleas, and I totally agree. Georgia opened as a 6. The public is all over Tennessee because Georgia struggled last week with Austin Peay, but they forget there was a 3-hour rain delay in that game. There was all kinds of delays for lightning and stuff. They were just trying to get out of that game healthy. Now it's SEC time. Going to Rocky Top, I like Georgia.
William Hill Sportsbooks all over Las Vegas, all over the state of Nevada, full-service books and pretty much any service you need. You can find them in over 250 locations. I saw up on William Hill U.S. Twitter, some big parlays hit a 6-legger last week that had a lot of baseball and some WNBA. $75 won $6,000. So the dream is alive. The dream is alive. Back in the SEC, Florida plus 8.5 against LSU.
Is Florida really that bad that they lose at the Swamp to South Florida? I admit, I bet LSU over the summer at 25-1 to win the national title. So I do like LSU. But laying 8.5 points against, again, another defensive team who has a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback in DJ Lagway. And Nussmeier didn't look that good. One of the top plays I had last week was Louisiana Tech plus 37.5 against LSU. And it was LSU just did the same thing that Clemson did. They just went out, showed up, got through the game without injuries. Now it's Florida LSU, and I'm getting over a touchdown. I don't know if these two teams have ever played a game that was over a touchdown.
Ray Cleaver.
I'd be on the dog.
My bad. Ray Cleaver, William Hill Sportsbook on the line. I wanted to ask about the NFL. There's a couple games, both involving NFC East teams that are, I don't know. The Commanders plus 3.5 with the Packers, a little bit of surprise to me. Also, the Giants being plus 6 against the Cowboys. How do you feel about both of those games?
Well, I'm going to start with the Giants and Cowboys.
Okay.
Last week, the most bet on NFL team was the New York Giants. They were everybody's darling playing the Commanders, getting 6 points. Everybody was betting them. Now this week, it's like all the luster's off. And the one thing I learned in the NFL is no team's as good as they were the last game and no team's as bad as they were the last game, unless, of course, you're the Miami Dolphins. So the Giants are now getting 6 points on the road. Are they really that bad? That defensive line struggled a little bit. And if you really watch that game, it wasn't as bad as it was. 14-6 most of the game. Giants score a touchdown. They need to get Russell Wilson out of there, though. Commanders and Packers, you got 2 playoff contender teams, 3.5 points. Packers on a short week at home. Commanders on a short week on the road. And it's over a field goal. I'm a Packer fan, but I'm not laying 3 in Green Bay. I think everybody's all excited about the Packers right now and picking up Micah. And they got through game one, and I think there's going to be a little adrenaline letdown. And with the short week trying to play, I literally would bet the Commanders plus 3.5. But I will tell you, I think it's even a better teaser play, the Commanders 3.5 up.
You have specials up at William Hill. It's already up on the app. Krusty Merritt, 50-plus rushing yards and a touchdown. You get 4-1 on that one. And tell people about the 25% Thursday Night Football profit boost.
We got, I'm looking for Thursday Night Profit Boost. We got the $250 bonus bet. I've got so many promos going on, gang.
Let's go.
At William Hill. That, in fact, we're one of the only books right now that has season win totals up for all college football teams in the Power Four conferences. In fact, I went in today and put them up.
I love it.
We also have the NFL progressive cards that are out. $5 card can win you $50,000. There's just so much going on at William Hill. There's so many locations. Las Vegas has numerous ones. Right. Just get to Thursday Night Football, 25% same game parlay profit boost with the Commanders and Packers.
Last two games, and we got about a minute left, so we'll go rapid fire. Saints 4.5, looking pretty beat up. Check that. Saints plus 4.5 against the Niners. The Niners are the beat up team.
Niners are really beat up. I mean, they don't have Kittle. They don't have Purdy. We get to see the Mac Jones experience one more time. At San Francisco, he's going to be starting. How bad are the? Don't know. Chris Olave seems like he's hurt on every other play, so who knows? That's one of the games that I absolutely wrote stay away. Public may be smarter than me on that. 49ers will probably get most of the action. I can't bet it. Chiefs and Eagles, we got a Super Bowl rematch. Couldn't ask for more. I think the Chiefs are in hurting right now. I think they're struggling. They don't know exactly what to do to get better. Andy Reid's a terrific coach. They have number 15 at quarterback, so they always have a chance. But I'd take the Eagles in that game. I think the Eagles are just more prepared right now, early season. Chiefs start warming up about November, December. and get ready for the Super Bowl like they have done 5 out of the last 6 years.
Might not be so easy this year to outpace the division, though, if they get off to a slow start. Hey, Ray, we appreciate a couple minutes. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good, Steve. Have a great day.
There he is, Ray Cleaver, as the latest on the Packers and Washington on Thursday night. Packers -3.5, -105 on that one. The total is 48. And your Eagles, because that one's kind of been bouncing around really since the middle of the summer. Eagles are a 1-point favorite. Total is 47. So pro pick'em contest, you just pick games straight. I'm not making the picks. I actually put in an entry with my girlfriend because she loves doing the straight up picks.
Yeah,
she went 12-3, so that's a good start for the season. Yeah,
I mean, I think
you got to go 14-1, 15-0 every week to get the weekly $10,000 prize. But if she can continue to pick at that kind of clip, then she's got a chance at the season-ending prize. She's good, man. She has a good read on it. It also helped that all the favorites won, as Ray said, that lined up a bunch of wins.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So, Greg, you have issues with names, too? I get mixed up all the time.
Yeah.
You were saying what, Derrick Henry?
I call Derrick Henry Travis Henry all the time, and I can't get it out of my head. He's the old running back for the Broncos back in the day.
So it was the first fact of what I mentioned about Travis Henry.
You said something about him having a bunch of kids like Tyreek Hill.
11 kids with 10 different women.
Nice. Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, his career's been over for like 15 years.
Yeah.
What is life like now? And then you mentioned that he had gotten busted for drugs.
A lot. Not just a little bit.
He got 3 years in a federal prison.
There you go.
So.
Yeah. He was selling weight, man. It wasn't just like
dime bags. Any money he has, any money he makes, immediately it's like, hey, your kids.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's tough. Derrick Henry doing much better for himself, I think.
Brock Purdy will really have to jack up his life to not have money about 25 years from now.
Right.
He got a big deal.
Right.
Did he deserve it? That's going to be judged over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
He's already hurt. One of his best receivers. I guess you would argue Kittle is the best receiver since they decided to move on from Debo. Juwan Jennings is coming back from injury. They're dinged up at the other wide receiver position. They did not look good offensively. And now he's got a shoulder injury and a toe injury. The toe is supposed to be more problematic. So he is, as of right now, questionable for this week's game. And George Kittle, there's no question, he's out 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's big for them, man. That's their main weapon. I mean, Ayuk, I guess, if he's healthy, which he isn't. But, yeah, I mean, that's...
And then, you know, you're walking around practice and you're like, McCaffrey, you're not practicing. Just freaking.
Well, he had
work out a little bit. It's the calf again.
I know. I mean, he was already going to other countries to find a second opinion last year. Now he's got calf again. This team's got a lot of. They've always have injuries, but this year
they were a 10.5 win total team.
Yeah,
and I said all summer, I'm like, I don't get it. With their penchant for getting injured.
Yeah.
They also lost a ton on defense. They drafted a bunch, but it doesn't mean those guys are going to go right in and be instant impact. I didn't get it.
I didn't either. And Purdy's not horrible, but he hasn't looked very good since that loss in the Super Bowl. He hasn't really looked like the guy, Pro Bowl. You hear Niners fans say all the time, the next coming of Joe Montana for the Niners. He hasn't really looked like that in a while, even healthy or not.
So under on the 10.5, I like that during the summer. I liked over 5.5 wins on the Giants.
Man, I don't know, dude. We have a bet, by the way, still going. You know that, right?
Do we write it down? If we didn't write it down, which we don't write down anymore.
Griffin, it better be written down.
What is the bet? No, we need to know this.
Hey, you said that the Giants would win more games than the Cowboys.
Cowboys. I'm confident.
Well, I hope you're still, because you already did it.
No, I'm confident.
Oh, all right.
I'm not going to panic because of one game.
I mean, did you see him?
Well, I guess the reason to panic is not because of Russell Wilson. It's because of what's in front of Russell Wilson. So my hope was, hey, listen, if Russ doesn't work out, he's got Jameis Winston. He's got Jackson Dart. One of those guys will get the job done. But if the line sucks, then they're all kind of screwed.
I don't know if it's the line, though, man. They tried 3 2-point conversions or whatever. Three touchdowns from the red zone from like 2 yards out, and they couldn't get in the end zone with Russell. I mean, you can't do a bootleg or something. Anything? You can't do anything to get in the end zone one time out of 3 tries? It was pretty bad, man. That didn't
Commanders are really good.
I guess. You better hope so.
I'm seriously not worried.
Give me Buy Me Joe's Crab, whatever that place is.
They lost a game they were supposed to lose, the Giants.
Well, they're about to lose another one then, because they're going to play the Cowboys, and they're already – the Cowboys are -6 in that game.
Yeah, I don't think that's the right number.
I think the Cowboys win by three touchdowns.
Do either of your guys' feelings change on the bet if Jackson Dart gets replaced instead of in there for Russell?
It can't be worse than Russell Wilson, man. That was the worst quarterback I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I don't want Jackson Dart in right now. I'm rolling with Russell Wilson.
What about Jameis?
Don't panic.
No Jameis?
Well, I mean, I would want Jameis in.
Yeah, all the time.
Right? I wish he was a Jets quarterback.
I wish he was every team's QB.
He's the best quarterback in the league. I love him. He's so much. As Griffin said earlier, he's like, Justin Fields, you're going to have a fun year with the Jets. And I was like, I want wins. And with Jameis, you're like, we'll take whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Fun football. Four touchdowns, four interceptions, 450 yards, three fumbles lost.
It's better than Russell Wilson, man.
48-45.
He looked bad.
Giants at Cowboys, home Chiefs, home Chargers. And at least the Saints are after that. Oh, good. Home Eagles.
Yeah.
The schedule is tough. That was the bad part about that bet is that the Giants did draw a schedule that is one of the hardest in the National Football League as they have old man Russ at quarterback and they'll have developmental Jackson Dart. But I'm sticking with it. The Giants, I still believe, will outpace the Cowboys.
0-17.
We're going to have a fight preview in about a half an hour as Al Bernstein, the legend, is going to be in on Cofield & Company.
It's Cofield & Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Jackson's Bar & Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, we'll talk some more numbers here. Tuesday, Salerno and it's Cofield, Griffin. Real quick, I wanted to hit a question that Griffin had during the break, and we're going to do some UNLV talk in about 20 minutes about their 3-0 start and what we're seeing so far from the football team. They lost their backup quarterback on Saturday. It was announced yesterday by Dan Mullen, the head coach, that Alex Orji had an LCL injury, and he also tore his hamstring from the bone, which is not good.
No.
And, you know, I was mentioning to Griffin, I saw the play it happened on. I saw him limping off the field, but he might have been across the way. But anyway, he had a pretty good limp. And then he came to the sideline. He went into the injury tent. And then you never know how guys are going to come out, right? So when I saw him again, he had a giant knee brace on his right leg, which is never a good sign when they brace it up right away.
Right.
And I'll just build this because we're going to – what we're going to talk – I got to mention the view of some athletes, of what we do and who we are in the media is very skewed. I'm not saying I have the best understanding of what it's like to be out there. Like Griffin played high-level college football. But I have a good feeling for what the game is and the work that gets put in. And I can tell you when I was sitting on the sideline and I could see Alex Orji while everyone else is standing up, celebrating, involved. Like it took Orji probably a good half a quarter to just get off the bench because he was just sitting on the bench kind of looking at the tablet.
Right.
And I was like, this sucks. Like, I feel so bad for guys. And listen, I've never had an injury where it threatened my livelihood. That's a serious mental screw job.
Right.
Because at 23 years old, you got to be thinking like, man, I came here to play. Now, I might have an injury that has me down for the season. I'm sure he didn't know officially then. But I feel so bad for guys. Like just, and even when he stood up and he was around some players, he was trying to pump them up. I'm like, this sucks. So I generally do have an understanding. I try, when we talk about, you know, we're talking about Brock Purdy or the Niners having injuries. Like I think people sometimes rejoice in stuff like that. These are real people. It blows being injured. And it blows having your livelihood or your season threatened. I can only imagine, like you had knee injuries. Like trying to go back out there when you're not 100%, it's already hard enough to compete. And then when you know your knee's jacked or you're not confident that it's all the way back, it sucks.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's not just the physical either. It's the mental. When you're dealing with an injury and you go over to a new team, I remember my first season at Cal Poly, I played the first couple of games, and then I went down again, same knee that I suffered back in high school. And I just remember feeling so guilty. I remember feeling like this team gave me a chance. This team offered me a scholarship. They gave me a chance to play, and here I am sitting on the bench not producing.
The injured guy.
Mm-hmm. It's the worst.
Yep.
Feel for Alex Orji, man.
So I wanted to mention Orji. He's down for the season. I hope he keeps playing college football. I hope he has a full recovery. Mullen even said, you know, the injury's terrible. He can't play football. That's terrible. But he loses leadership. Like, he's been swearing by this kid as just a great leader, very mature, a team guy. So, and I do this a lot. I try to step back every once in a while and go, listen, I appreciate what guys do. That's why I'm very pro player. That's why I'm very much someone who's like, hey, pay them, right? Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones wants to take shots at someone because they can't make it through a season full time. Like, screw off, okay?
Yeah, their run D looked great, by the way.
Yeah, I don't want to hear, yeah, your Cowboy defense looked like ass. And by the way, the Packers, and we'll get to what the Packers did, Parsons being out there had a pretty good impact. Now let's talk about football expertise. And as an example, this is our eye on sports gambling. Should we never make picks and only let former players like Griffin, Caleb Herring, who's on the show, played at UNLV, Mark McMillan, who played in the NFL. Like, what's the cutoff line? When can you be a football expert? How high a level of football did you have to play? What's the line here? Because Ryan Clark, who I think has gotten completely out of control with his attacks on different people. So we got into a Pete Schrager, who moved over from NFL Network. He's a reporter. He's a TV guy. He didn't play football at a high level. He got on Schrager for not playing football. Basically, it's one of these guys snapping, like, I play the game, I know. The problem is Ryan Clark is developing this track record where, first of all, do you realize how infantile, insecure, and childish you have to be to, that's the shot you take at someone? Like, I play the game, I know what I'm talking about. We have Mark McMillan on, who played at a high level. We have Caleb Herring on. We have lots of former players on. None of the people who come on with us ever get all insecure enough to be like, well, what do you know? You didn't play the game. Like, how weak are you? Yeah. That's what breaks you? So that's your shot back?
It's an awful take anyway. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm pretty sure if I had to, I could beat up Freddie Roach. It doesn't mean I know more about boxing than Freddie Roach. I mean, you know what I mean? Like Chip Kelly, doesn't. He looks like he runs about an 8-second 40. He's a pretty good coach. I mean, I
respect that Ryan Clark played the game. He played at the highest level. Does that mean he gets to demean a guy who only made it to high level of college and then burned out in the pros? I always wonder.
Well, it doesn't mean anything.
I will tell you that mindset. I saw it happen one time at NFL Network, right? So they were doing the NFL Network morning show, and now I'm blanking. Oh, it's Kyle Brandt, right? So Kyle Brandt he's kind of a loudmouth. He's a big guy. He played at Princeton, right? Played running back at Princeton. You know, decent level of football, right?
Yeah.
Nate Burleson is on the show. Burleson played in the NFL, played at Nevada. D'Angelo Williams comes on the show as a guest. Former running back with Pittsburgh and the Panthers, Carolina Panthers. And he tried to pull a, I know what I'm talking about over you guys, and started questioning where they played. I was like, one, you're not even prepared enough to know that your co-hosts both played college football. One played in the NFL. So right off the bat, we're seeing you're lazy.
Right.
That's my biggest problem with the jockocracy. Like, when they have to lean on, I played the game, it means you're not putting in the work. So you didn't have enough respect for the guest spot and the guest analyst spot to even know who you're talking to. And then D'Angelo Williams was like, because Nate Burleson's like, I played at Nevada. He's like, oh, Nevada. Like, you played at Memphis.
Right.
Like, what are we doing here? And by the way, I don't know if D'Angelo Williams does anything in the media. Maybe he does locally. Maybe he's a big star in some local market. Like, you weren't good, so you didn't get a job. And the flip side of it is Nate Burleson is now looking at, I'm sure, zillions of dollars. He now does the CBS Morning Show.
Yeah, he does
the
everything.
The football thing is, like, beneath him.
I know, he does everything.
And there was some guy clowning him about if he's qualified to talk football. Like, bruh. But on Ryan Clark, if your defense in an argument, and they were picking games, by the way. If your defense – no, that's not right. They were having a different discussion. That's a different part of the story. If your defense is, I played the game – because I also think it's very funny that Ryan Clark will talk baseball, will talk NBA. Because on Get Up, they have all these different topics. And they'll – you know, Damian Woody on the NBA.
Yeah.
Where did Damian Woody play in the NBA? Where did Ryan Clark play in the NBA?
Right.
Where did Charles Barkley play anything other than – he can't even walk. He's so fat now.
Right.
And Barkley, he opines on everything.
Talks golf, college, everything.
What pro sport, aside from basketball, hockey. Did Barkley play? Now, there is a group, and it's a pretty big group. There's a group of athletes like who were awesome at everything in high school and probably could have been two sports stars in college, and they're still good at everything. But sometimes I watch them, and I'm like, bro, you're applying this whole, like, I played the game, but now you're talking basketball, you're doing golf. It's like, what are you doing? I thought there were parameters here.
Thing though,
of like course it doesn't.
Michael Jordan, you know, top two player ever. Most people have him as their GOAT. One of the worst talent evaluators I've ever seen as a GM. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Like, it means nothing.
Kwame Brown,
exactly. But not even just that. Look at the team he's run for garbage. It just doesn't mean anything at all. And most coaches are big fat dudes that my best coaches were all these guys that I could probably run faster than.
Well, a lot of major league managers and coaches, you know, kind of. topped out at a certain point. Yes. Like they just, and I'm not saying like Ryan Clark was only naturally gifted, but that is part of it. To be at that level, you have to be an unbelievable physical specimen, and some guys just don't make it. But on the expertise thing, you know, I think people can study up on sports. The other thing is talk to people. You try to learn. You lean on people. And I can tell you this, if your attitude is like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He didn't play the game. How are you going to learn? Maybe that person has something to offer you. Do you talk to other players that way? Do you talk to players who didn't achieve on your level? Do you talk to players who only played college football? I mean, there's a lot of guys on Fox and ESPN. They never made the NFL. They got 2 years in the NFL, a year. They were on practice squads. Well, they played football. They know. They're educated. They talk to people. They're also eloquent. They can express it. They can get across to the masses.
But they also have analytics guys now with the with math and stuff that I could never. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know calculus. Like, you know.
Did you see Stephen A. Smith tried to like big brother that guy Kevin Clark, who is pretty nerdy and he's mostly an analytics guy.
Right.
And he was talking NFL, and it's like, Stephen A.
Yeah, you're out of your depth, man.
Your NFL stuff is not good.
No.
Like, if you want to do surface stuff and yell and do hot takes, but don't, if you're going to talk about or try to challenge some guy as a nerd.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure that Kevin Durant would call you a nerd.
Yes, of course.
You know, there's all level of nerds.
Yes.
100%. You know, a walk-on bench player at Winston-Salem State, whatever it's called, Winston-Salem State, that's a nerd to a lot of NBA players. They don't respect your opinion. So when you start applying these rules, I think you got to be really careful.
Well, a lot of the best coaches, too, are like backup quarterbacks, guys that had to study more than the other guys who were talented. I mean, it doesn't mean – I don't know. It's just so stupid. It's a dumb argument that people pull out.
I remember before this really hit the news cycle and blew up, I remember going on Twitter /X and seeing somebody quote tweet that video with Ryan Clark going at Peter Schrager, and they quote tweeted it saying, "Ryan Clark would be great for a male version of The View." And reading that, I thought about it. I was like, "Why? You know, why is that?" And it's because he is boisterous. He's going to say whatever is going. He's a clickbait
monster.
But
here's the thing. If you're going to go on a show like The View or Sports Talk Radio or Get Up, you have to be able to debate without getting all worked up.
And
you can get worked up and yell, but if your defense is like, "Shut up, you don't know what you're talking about. You know who I am," then you're out.
You've never done stand up or whatever.
Right?
But that's the problem. Is like that's where you lose ground, is when you are an athlete and you are in that position on a show like that. If your go-to is to say, "You didn't play, you don't know," that's you basically saying, "This guy's kind of winning the debate. Let me just go ahead and
I'm panicking."
Yeah, let me go ahead and just put a stop to that. So it's ridiculous.
We also saw it with, because I said this is, he's had like several of these fracases where it got a little bit personal. I thought him and RG3 going back and forth was just absurd.
Ridiculous.
Like basically... what was this? I can't even remember what the story was.
Something to do with him criticizing that RG3 criticized Angel Reese, and Ryan Clark basically said something about him being married to
Ryan Clark's woman. Basically like, "You don't know the black experience."
Right.
And he actually went after RG3 for having a white wife, and then it took 3 days for people to find out that Ryan Clark has a white kid. Which, again, none of that disqualifies you from being someone who understands.
But the hypocrisy is funny.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think he just gets caught up in stuff and so outraged, and he's so arrogant that.
I guess, man. I think there's like probably like a push for him to try to be edgy sometimes, maybe, and he says things.
I think he can be plenty edgy on his own. I think he's often very angry about people giving opinions and thinks he's an expert on everything. And I watching that RG3 thing with Ryan Clark on the experience and who's real and who's not, I'm like, I think you better be really careful here.
Yeah. I mean, is he trying to follow the Stephen A. model? Maybe he's on ESPN, he sees the success of a guy like Stephen A. Smith, and he says, "You know what, maybe I should be a little boisterous. Maybe I should talk out of my butt when I don't know exactly what I'm exactly trying to say." Who knows?
Stupid sells.
One last thing for this hour. I'll give you a guy that I would not want to cover because oftentimes I think he comes off as a horse's ass, and that's Steve Sarkisian, who... I don't know what he's trying to do here with Arch Manning, who was grimacing while throwing. There's a giant picture on one website I'm looking at, and he says Arch Manning doesn't have any pain. Then he was making some reference to, I don't know, like cameras following people around. Like, just relax.
Well, okay?
If he doesn't have any pain, that's fine, but we're just asking, why is he grimacing? Is that his throwing style? Maybe he's like Nolan Ryan. Remember Nolan Ryan when he pitched every pitch? Robbie Ray does it. Like,
no, but he was rotating his shoulders even in week one, though. That first game where they got beat, he was like moving his shoulders around like I used to when it hurt. One of my shoulders hurt.
Did you play football professionally?
No.
Did you play college football?
No.
Well, then you know what you're talking about.
Damn it.
You should have made the majors. You were a better player than Eric Chavez.
Shut up.
You and the freaking Kelly League of the back in the day, the Bad News Bears, riding around on the freaking dirt bike with your cigs all rolled up. And now they mock him.
I was a greaser.